asking, which is what's something you'd like the gubernatorial candidates to know about Maplewood? If you were there chatting with them, what would you want to discuss with them? If they said, tell me about your community, what would you say? What are the first things that come to mind?
I already said it. Overtaxed.
Yeah, definitely. That's a good one.
And I see nothing in the two current candidates or in the Assembly or the Senate or in any other realm here in New Jersey that would lead me to even suspect that there will be any relief in the near future. So I'm completely ambivalent about the election. There's nobody there who represents me.
Bob, is it the overtax, property tax, that kind of,
specifically?
Those are the,
yeah.
I feel like that's very bipartisan. I think anybody who lives in a community like Maplewood and South Orange looks at their property taxes and says, ouch.
But I have the property taxes and taxes in general in terms of overtaxed. I think what you just said, Bob, is the most important part. It's taxation without representation. They're taxing us, and I don't believe that as a community that our taxes are going to all of the things that we would like them to go to. And, you know, brand it socialism, but if the taxes are going towards really good schools and great services and things of importance and necessity to the community, then I think that that's fair and reasonable to ask. However, if the taxes are being usurped and thrown into pork belly fundings that don't benefit the general community at large, then it's taxation without representation. I don't think the representatives speak for the vast majority of what the community wants, and it's more of a larger perspective. It's not just local. I think the entire state suffers from high property taxes. However, I've said to my daughters, you're getting a great education here. The schools are fantastic, and there's a lot of community input into the schools. So I kind of bite the bullet and say, but if I didn't have children and living here and was paying taxes, property taxes I'm paying, that would, you know, once they're done with school, then I'm thinking, now I'm paying for everyone else's schooling, which is fine, but I don't feel that that's how it's not equitable distribution is the word I'm looking for.
In the 40 years that I've lived in town, I've used the public schools 2 years. I had one child at Columbia High School for 2 years. All the rest of the time I had him in private schools.
And well, that's a choice.
It is.
But the thing is that I think it's really culturally destabilizing. I mean, we really have a choice between income taxes and property taxes, and people who pay a lot of money would rather pay property taxes because it's cheaper. They had to pay income taxes, they'd end up paying more, and it's cheaper for them to pay property taxes and let all of us pay these high property taxes. But it's destabilizing. I mean, I'm here almost 8 years since my son graduated high school, but he loves coming home to where he grew up, to create communities where
everybody
just...
How often does he come home?
And he's home right now. But I mean, the point is that...
It's not answering the question.
He comes home maybe 3 or 4 times a year, but the point is that to create communities where there's just this built-in transience, where you come in, have your kids as long as they're in the school system, and then move somewhere else, I think it's bad for the community, it's bad for families, I think it's bad for everybody.
But you don't feel like high property taxes play into that transit?
I think they're critical. We've got to figure out another way to fund education than just pure property taxes, because we're destabilizing our communities. Where I go into Maplewood, and I'm sure you feel this, you guys must feel this, all, I don't know anybody anymore. How involved was I in this community? And everybody my age is just, they're gone.
All my age group people are gone or leaving.
And so we're creating communities where there's nobody around who remembers, who has a history with the town. There's a few, but basically it just completely turns over, and that's, I don't think that's a good way to organize our state.
That's interesting, Dan, very interesting, a good point.
What about our young students? My goal is to ask the question again, not to say let's keep talking about property taxes. Not that I'm trying to say let's not talk about them, but what are some things that you would ask the candidates for governor of New Jersey? What are some things about Maplewood that you want to tell them? This is Maplewood to me, to us.
I like Maplewood. I can understand that taxes are hard to pay. I don't really know how to do them, but it seems like they cost a lot, so I agree that they should change that. But I do like our schools. Our teachers are really good. They teach me a lot.
And tell us where you've gone to school so far since you've been in Maplewood.
Seth Boyden and Maplewood Middle.
What are some things? Tell us. What we should tell them about Maplewood? What's Maplewood about to you? First things that come to mind. Of course, I put you on the spot, right? And if you want to come back to answering the question later on, that's totally fine.
It's tough when you don't know a lot of other communities. Are there other places you've traveled to besides Maplewood?
I've been to New Hampshire, Indiana, Florida, Montana.
So when you compare them to Maplewood, what do you think Maplewood does better?
Or doesn't it?
Have you been in any other school community other than Maplewood, so he has no basis of comparison?
I think that one of the things that really attracted us to moving here when we moved here was the diversity of the families that we encountered and just a feeling of welcoming and acceptance. You know, we're in an alternative family structure, and we wanted to live someplace where that wouldn't be make us a target of bullying or single us out in negative ways. And we really felt like Maplewood would be a safe place for us and for our kids to grow up, because there were a lot of different kinds of families that were part of the community.
Yeah, well said. Yeah,
absolutely.
We were at the Coalition on Race event last night in the Woodland, and that again is a wonderful thing that they do right here in Maplewood.
Yeah.
The Coalition on Race, mm-hmm. which is a brilliant thing to do, and have people come together and learn to like people and respect them and understand, you know, the differences in our lives and things. Yeah, that was a brilliant thing. So that's
been around for 25 years, I believe.
Has it been that long?
I think they had their 20th anniversary last year.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And it came at a time where there was a lot of conflict in the community. And it made a huge difference, there's no question about it. I mean, I've seen, strangely, not as much change as you might think in 70 some years of living here.
He loves to rub that in. He snatched me from the cradle, by the way.
Of course.
We have no cars now.
You were still sucking your thumb, I know.
Yes, she was.
Sorry, anyway.
But very little change, and it's been a very, from my perspective, very stable community. I'm strictly a Northeaster. There's no way. Besides the roots, my mother's ashes are in the gardens, and my brother, and my children know if they don't get me in the right garden, I'm going to haunt them. So
we'll never leave.
I'm not going anywhere, and they can raise the taxes.
These ashes are going in the garden.
When you say you're staying, you're really staying.
I'm staying
forever.
I'm not going anywhere.
Which is the people that do choose to stay find that the place is still dynamic and wonderful. And I, answer the question more specifically, what would I tell the governor candidates? I think Maplewood's a phenomenal town. It's an exemplary town of what diversity can look like, what a broad range of opinions and viewpoints and people of all walks of life working together in a community. And it's a beautiful community. I mean, the trees are beautiful, it's well kept, lovely parks, great schools, awesome children. I don't worry about my children walking around. I find that they're gaining experiences from. I told my daughter when she was on her way to college, she's a sophomore now, but so a year and a half ago, I said to her, Maplewood's an oasis. You're going to be in for an awakening when you get to school and find people that did not grow up in communities like ours. And they will have grown up in homogenized, one-sided communities.
Where does she go to school?
She's at Brown and in Providence, Rhode Island, and she's loving it.
Good.
And so, but I think Maplewood's phenomenal. I don't know how a governor or the state legislature is able to foster this type of community at a state level, but I would expect that that's something they should aspire to.
Well, can I throw something in, a little bit of a fact, which I think you're probably all aware of, but 94% of our school district budget is locally financed. It's locally paid for, the revenue, and which is a really high percentage. We get very low amount of state aid. When the state was in crisis at the early point of the Christie administration, the governor reduced state aid drastically to the schools. You know, whether and you can talk politically about if he needed to do that, you know, we were in a statewide crisis, or if it was right or wrong for him to take it from the schools. But we've never been returned to the level of state aid that we had 8 years ago. And we are faced every year with drastic cuts. So is part of that overtaxation and taxation with representation question, is part of that talking to the gubernatorial candidates about a change to school funding? Is that how we maintain this community?
Oh, absolutely. If we go back to that conversation, I would say that's the first priority. This goes back to taxation without representation. If we're paying 94% of our local budget to maintain the school, the level of scholastic achievement that we are able to maintain. When I took my daughter on college visits, every admissions officer at the top flight schools, every single one of them said, wow, Columbia, we know that school, it's a great high school. And my daughter is always kind of rolling her eyes and shaking her head and saying, you know, I'm at this public school and blah, 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 and now you're gonna send me to private school. And, you know, I kept saying, you don't understand, this is a phenomenal school with a broad range of subjects for you to study. You won't be able to find this in other schools, even at private school levels. There's a TV studio, there's a fencing class. I mean, you name it, you can find it.
So where's the lack of representation?
Well,
you
I don't
just
think
said the school
I'm saying
do
we have it here locally because we've made a priority of putting 94% of our budget towards education. That's amazing.
I think I've got our numbers backwards. I think 60% of our budget or 80%.
94%
of our school budget
comes
from
local
right,
taxes.
Right.
Yes.
But only that it's much less than 94%
no,
of
that's
our town
so
budget.
No, correct.
I'm saying that 94%
of
the
school
budget,
budget
is locally funded.
Right.
But
so
now,
then the state should return back to this priority of we need to maintain education because that's the longevity. They're the future. I'm not
because
the future.
Look at the price we've paid. If you look historically, when I bought my house, the man that had been in there, people stayed in their homes an average of 30 or 40 years in that first big wave. And so 20 years, they paid taxes, had no kids. So the school population went from 7,000 and would dip down to 3,000. We had closed schools when I first got here.
Yep.
Montrose was closed. Schools were closed because our population went down. And then it went back up to 7,000. And now it just stays there because every one of us that moves, someone with four small children moves in. And this town has to carry that never-ending, absolutely to capacity cost of every single house in this town having smart. We're just a place for schools.
No, but it's
we
a desirable
place.
Place. It's a beautiful
place. It's a wonderful
place,
but it's a terrible thing, I think, that it has to turn over like that. And I think if we funded schools fairly from the state level, then it wouldn't put towns like ours in such an overtaxed transient position. I think that there should be more funding for schools coming from the state.
Well, then that's exactly the point. The state should return to the levels of funding the priorities, and that goes to the point of, at a state level, it's taxation without representation. I know I'm paying state taxes. Where are those state taxes going? Because they're not going to the schools. They're not coming to the municipality.
When I moved to Jersey, I had this conversation with Cody one time. He didn't like it much. Everybody, or many of the people that I knew from New York and other places, were a bit envious. Our taxes were reasonable. We did not have an income tax. We didn't have a state lottery to fund the schools. All of these things were added in later, and all of these monies go into the general budget, and they all disappear. No matter how much money you give these people, they're not going to spend it in a way that represents the way you and I spend money. I bet you whatever you want, if we go do the analysis, what we pay for a mile of paving in this town is far and above what some other people would pay if they were taking their own money and spending it on those projects. You have to have the paving, you have to have the infrastructure, you have to have all of those things. But there's ways to negotiate and get those things, those prices down. And if it was their money, instead of them giving in, them, when I say them, the politicians, I don't believe that we're represented. You're 100% right. These people represent themselves, all of them. They're all in it to be reelected. They're all in it to make their contributors happy. And that's who controls the funds. Our funds are gone. We didn't even blink an eye, and we just got raised 23 cents a gallon on our gasoline tax. Bingo. It's fine. Oh, it's 23 cents. It's ridiculous.
Well, look at
happened to the money? What happened to the money they already collected for the funds for the highways? Yeah. It was gone.
Yeah, well, it all gets usurped and wasted. And, I mean, I'm a commuter. I look at the New Jersey Transit Rail. You know, my partner flew around the world, landed, had to get up and go to a meeting. I took her to the trains, and right as rain, New Jersey Transit was delayed, and then they announced that they had mechanical problems and the train was canceled. She was going to be late for a meeting after flying around the world. I was like, you just flew all the way over the North Pole and back to Newark, and you can't get from Maplewood into Manhattan on the trains because of what? And I know they raise those rates all the time. The rates just keep going through the roof. I get jacked by my Easy Pass. I get
infrastructure,
jacked by, I mean, it all goes
infrastructure
up the
has been used up.
Okay, so what is, get in the car, I will drive you into the city. We'll pay the toll there. I'll get you to your meeting on time. How far away is Manhattan? 8 miles? Flew around the world and couldn't get 8 miles on New Jersey Transit.
Wow.
What is that about? It's awful. It's awful. It's ridiculous. And if the governor, part of the reason why 50% of people don't know anything about the governor is they don't care. And the news has been, everybody's so fed up. And the news has been so inundated with the horror at the federal level that, you know, it's pure divide and conquer. Everybody's completely divided and nobody's paying any attention to what's going on a local level at this point. I don't know. Just makes my blood starts to starts to go up.
Based on what you were saying, are you saying you would rather not because you feel like once they get further away from us, you would be against the idea of more state funding for local education?
No, I'm just thinking they misuse all the funding.
So
I don't believe there's enough money to go around because it's wasted. I think they collect plenty of money. I think they mismanage it, and they use it to feather their own nest.
So you wouldn't support more state funding for local education?
I wouldn't support raising taxes.
On even state income taxes or something else if it reduced your local taxes?
Nothing. Not until we have, if we could have an independent auditor go in and say, hey, this is where the money is being collected, this is what's being spent on these kinds of projects, and you're spending perfectly. Then if you need to raise taxes, you raise taxes.
Yeah.
But I don't believe that's the case.
Mm.
You know, in private industry, I've been called upon to reduce employment and things of that nature. And I found out a very interesting experience, that when you're faced and forced to do something like that, the first percent of reduction is almost, it's almost easy. Because you're getting rid probably of a lot of deadwood and other kinds of things. The second 10% starts to become painful. And the third 10% is really painful. There's always waste when things aren't managed with a hard, hard pencil, and things are, and you make priorities. There's some things you can do without, and there's some things you need. You have to have education, good education. You don't necessarily need to do this other project. You have to find ways. 23 cents a gallon, we didn't even blink an eye. We're used to it. We've been so trained that a 23 cent a gallon tax, where you go and fill your car up once or twice a week, wasn't even blinked at. I couldn't believe it.
I'm going to put you all on hold for one.